I don't take no honor, nothing else. And if we choose a wretched thing like me, come on. There's nothing special about me. I promote nothing special about me because I'm not special. He is special. He's all to me. He's everything to me. There's nothing special about me. I have no special abilities, no special gifts, no special trait. My traits are just like any other man. Wicked, repulsive, sinful, imaginable, defiant, disobedient. But there's one thing about the man, the Ben Adam. By one man, sin and condemnation brought. But by the Ben Adam was deliverance unto Israel. It's only because the man. It's only because the man. The man that is in me is greater than this man. Hallelujah. And he excels in the greatness of his Abba. Hallelujah. So the prophet with this knobby with the great works, you would have thought that he would have been haste to obey Yah. Yah has brought you out of the pit. He has caused the light to shine of HaMashiach, the mighty light. Hallelujah. I can look back on my ways and see how putrefied they were. The tears flow from my eyes to know that he brought me out. He delivered me. He said, you are Yisrael. He said, you are Yisrael. You are my nation. I've called Yisrael. When I understand, when I see that many days, my love gets so overwhelmed. The tears flow in the inward part that I can't help. I can't hold them back because I am appreciative unto my Abba. He says this, hallelujah. He said, if you give me all you got, I will not do because Yah has commanded me what to do, and that I will do. It says in verse 11 of the same chapter, now there dwelt an old Nabi in Bethel. And his sons came and told him of the works that the man of Yah had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, they told also to their avat. And their avat said unto them, what way went he? See, the old man didn't have what he used to have. That's the truth. He wanted to find out what way did the Nabi go because I haven't seen this work in Israel in a long time. And he wanted that in his home. He wanted to touch that blessing, to have the Esha of Yah. Yah's given us the man that's with us 24/7, every day, every second. And the man of Yahshua HaMashiach. You don't have to lie. You don't have to cheat. You can do all things right. Our promotion doesn't come because we lie or cheat. The promotion comes from Yah. He is the one that promotes you. He is the one that raised you up. You can't promote anyone. We can't promote a deacon. We can't promote a bishop or pastor or prophet. Yah is the one that promotes. And you will know when he promotes a man. Because the word will flow from his belly like a fire. Hallelujah. And it will take its course to the depths of the Levim, the hearts of the people of Israel. And it will burn like the auger of Yah. The fire will burn like the auger of Yahweh. Hallelujah. And he said unto him, which way he went? For his sons had seen which way the man of Yah had went, which came from Yahudah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me an ass. So they saddled him an ass, and he rode thereon, and he went after the man of Yah, and he found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, are you the man of Yah that came from Yahudah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was said to me by the word of Yah as he spoke, you shall not eat no bread. You shall not, brothers and sisters, eat the bread of this world. We need to eat the living bread, Yahshua. You eat the bread that has no life. It's a bread that is filled with maggots and corruption. Nor drink water, because there's no water, there's no well but Yahshua. Nor turn again to go the way that you came. He said unto him, I am a Nabi also as thou art. That's what men say, I'm a man just like you. I'm a preacher like you. You're not a man like me. You're not a preacher like me. You're just who you are. So he said to the Nabi, I'm a prophet like you. I have the oracles of Yah. I can speak. But no, he was not a Nabi like him. Because he sent that Nabi to Jeroboam to defy his wickedness, his sinfulness, the blatant defiance of Torah. It's amazing that the old prophet's sitting there all the time, and Yah did not send him. But he calls one to rise up in the Ruach of Yahshua. Hallelujah. He calls him to come from the order of Melchizedek. And he said, you go to Jeroboam and you tell him what I say. I know you'll do it. Hallelujah. I don't care the slightest act of disobedience. It will cause you to stumble. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that is the truth. That's why the enemy used subtlety. He just, with the slightest act of subtlety, as we heard last Wednesday. You all need to go back and listen to that message. You don't hear well. It caused her to disobey Yah. And when she disobeyed Yah, it brought even the kingdom down. And you are suffering today because of that. And I'm telling you, sons and daughters, you're suffering because we have suffered because of our transgressions of our avat, our ima, our mamas and daddies. Whether you believe that or not, that is the truth. Are we suffering because of Adam and Sheva Eve? Are we not? Don't sit there like hypocrites. You know we are. Are you suffering because of your mama, your grandmama, your great-great-grandmama? That's why. Their wickedness. I will show you this in the book. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as you are. And a Malach spoke to me the word of Yah, saying, bring him back with thee in thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water with me. But he lied unto him. That's how some of you all lie, without any conscience of your lies. You imagine vain things. And the reason you imagine vain things is because your mind is empty. There's nothing there. It's empty. They call them empty heads. No airheads in the world. I don't know what the slang jargon today. Your mind is empty because the enemy has filled it with nothing but emptiness. He says, but he lied to him. He lied. Now, we'll show you what this dishonesty of lies will do to you. It will cause you to disobey Yah. So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house, and he drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, the word of Yah came to the Nabi that brought him back. Do you hear that? And he cried unto the man of Yahweh that came from Yahudah, saying, thus saith Yah, for as much as you have marah, disobeyed the mouth of Yahweh, and has not kept all the commandments. Come on, all the mitzvah. Say what it says there. Kept the commandment. He gave him one command. You go and speak to Jeroboam, and you get out of there. Don't eat. Don't drink water. Don't even drink a cup of water in that place. Hallelujah. Yah tells us, as he told the Shulishims, when you go into a house, to tell them that. You go into the house, they receive you. Then you say shalom upon this house. You walk in that house, they don't receive the word of Yah. Then you don't even, you shake the dust off of your feet. And do not leave the shalom of Yah. He has not changed. They did not receive the prophet, the Nabi in that place. Jeroboam, he reached out his hand against him. And Yah did not want his shalom to be left there. Yah has not changed. What Yahshua said is the same yesterday, today, and evermore. It is not a new word. It's just the power of this word refreshed in Israel that they can understand it. But he disobeyed Yah. And Yah caused the lying prophet to speak. He caused the words to come out. He said, but you came back and has eaten bread, and you have drank water in the place of which Yahweh did say to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Did he mean what he said? Did he tell him he could have a cup of water? He told him to drink no water. Did he tell him he could have just a loaf of bread? He said, eat no bread, period. You're eating the bread, but it's not the dainties of Yah. You're eating the dainties of this world. That's why our hearts are covetous and lustful and weak, and we're wicked. That's why we are sickly, spiritually above all, because you're eating the body of the host day of bread of HaMashiach, and your love is not right. And that's why many of y'all are dead in here today. Your mind is separated from Yah, your thoughts. He told him not to eat bread or water. He said, your carcass shall not come into the sepulchre or the grave of your avat. And it came to pass as he was eating the bread after he had drank the water that he saddled his ass and he left. And the Nabi whom had brought him back. And when he had gone, a lion met him in the way and it killed him. And his carcass was cast in the way and the ass stood by it. And the lion also stood by the carcass. He didn't kill the ass. For the ass is a delicacy for the lion. Yah sent him there to kill that prophet. And the lion of the tribe of Yahuda, Yeshua, he has come with the sword of Yah. He is cutting off and destroying everything that is not of Israel. He stands in the gap. If you don't obey all the commands, the misfire of Yah, you're going to die. Just like the prophet that disobeyed Yah. He disobeyed Yahweh. And that lion was Yeshua. He's of the lion of the tribe of Yahuda. He came, the prophet came out of Yahuda, and the lion was there to destroy him. If he was hungry, he'd have got the ass. He didn't want the ass. He wanted that one, for he disobeyed Yah. And Yahshua is the one that stands in the straight and the narrow path. You're not going in your lying, corrupt ways. You're not going in your superficiality. You're not going in with your pretense. Hallelujah. And the man passed by and saw the carcass cast away and the lion standing by the carcass. Hallelujah. Why didn't the lion take the ass? And they came and told it in the city where the old Nabi dwelt. And when the Nabi that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, is it not the matter of Yahweh who was what? Disobedient. But Yah tells you to praise him, you disobedient Jezebel spirit. Or Yah tells you to let everything to have breath. Praise him, you Jezebel, you don't do it. Then he tells you again, let everything have breath, praise me. Then he tells you again, come on, praise me. Then he tells you again, rejoice in me. Again, I say rejoice. You wonder why you're dying, there's no life in you. Hallelujah. He disobeyed the command of Yah, the mitzvah. And he died. Yah has not changed. Your minds are dying. Your desire, your thirst for Yah is not alive. He cares for the world. The deceitfulness of the riches of the world. Your friendship is choked out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this not the man of Yah who was disobedient unto the word of Yahweh? Is this not him? Therefore, Yah hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of Yah, which he spoke unto him. Did Yahweh lie? Let every man be a liar, but let Yahweh be truth, brothers and sisters. What he says, he means what he says. What he commands us, he means what he says. And for us to defy him, we're fools. He was disobedient unto Yah. And because he did not obey, he stumbled. Yah had given him the mandate, do what I told you now. I do not believe that he spoke to him one time. I believe that he burned that in that Nabi, that fear caused him the trouble. Do you think that anyone could just have an audience with the king? Can you just get an audience with Mr. Bush? Come on, brothers and sisters. Yet Yah defied the very statutes of the king. And he said the Nabi, he walked right in. Right there, can you imagine the contingents of forces around Jeroboam when he's offered up his Baal offering, and yet the Nabi of Yah walks right up to him. They were confounded, they were befuddled, they cannot abate him, they cannot keep him back, and the Nabi walks right up to him. That alone ought to cause him to tremble. You think if I went to the White House and walked in that horse den and walked in Mr. Bush's bedroom, do you not know that they will send out F-1 fighters and everything? Do you understand that? Do you not realize when they find me that the contingency of forces that would be there, that they will take the whole city force, they will take secret services and everything. Do you not understand that they will go over their whole protective spears for Mr. Bush? How did he get in? That would be fun of them, wouldn't it? Do you recall some years ago that man went into that Jezebel, Queen Elizabeth, and got into the palace in her bedroom instead of the foot of her bed? Some of the most stringent types of surveillance equipment you can find. And yet he got in. And so this Nabi walked past the forces of the army. And he stood before the king. No telling what he said to him in the complete dialogue. But he said, I come in the name of Almighty Yah. You have defied the authority of the one that had brought Israel out. You shall pay for your wickedness. And Yah sent me here for one thing. And that's to tell me that the kingdom under you has become wicked and vile. And you shall pay in your wickedness of what you have sown, which you have created in Israel. And that's all I come to tell you. For the kingdom shall be rented. It shall come down. And the old Jeroboam say, man, don't you know who I am? And when he, as the old folks would say, when he reached to grab him, the old hand dried up like a prune. That's why when you reach out and you lash out against Yah, well, I'm not disobedient. You're Jezebel, you are. You're man of Horam. Every word of Yah's pure. Some are every. Every. When a man truly becomes an avadim, a servant of Yah, he loves every word. He loves every word. Therefore, every word of Yah is pure. Therefore, his servants, those that serve him, they love it. That's their refuge. They find comfort in every word. It's almost like someone speaking a favorable word to someone, they can retain every word. And yet when Yah speaks us favorably, we can't retain nothing. But when one is a whisperer or hater, you can retain all that, can't you? When it's a backbiter and a liar, you can retain lies. Hallelujah. You don't have to say it, but it's still the truth. Hallelujah. I want to drop down to verse 29. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of Yah, and he laid it upon the ass, and he brought it back. And the old prophet, or the old Nabi, came into the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid the carcass in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, Allah, my brother. It came to pass after he had buried him, he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, bury me in the sepulcher wherein the man of Yah is buried. Lay my bones beside his bone. For the sand which he cried by the word of Yah against the altar of Bethel and against all the house of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. When he said Yah is going to rent this, he says it's going to happen. After this thing, Jeroboam, he did right, didn't he? Returned not from his what? See, you don't return from your evil ways after Yah speaks a word like this to you. After all that, he still didn't turn from his evil ways. But made again the lowest of the people priests of the high place. Whosoever would, he consecrated him and became one of the priests of the Kohen in the high place. And this thing became sin unto the day of Jeroboam, even to cause it to have life, to cut it off. Your sin will cut you off. And to destroy it from where? From the face of the earth. You're not going to get by choosing what you think is appropriate for you to obey. You're not. Every word he speaks unto us, it is from his bosom. And he intends for us to obey it. This is a generation that has this mara. Was this not a true Nabi? Sure he was. Even the old one. But he lied. He lied. Don't sit there like hypocrites. You haven't lied, have you? All right then.
All right. The hypocrisy among Yah's people. This is a hypocritical generation. They're not even hot and you're not cold. When you come in here singing for Yah, you'll be hot. All right? I watch those, watch Sister Horn Altar. I don't care how she feels, but still there's a fervor Father. Your brother's given the instruments, you play it as unto Yah. I just don't want no movement of keys. Y'all hear me singing this song? Come on. Alterate the song then. We're here to honor Him. I'm not here just to sing. I'm here to make melodies unto Yah. And I want them to come from my lab. The world does that all the time. I want the songs to flow from. I want it to have meaning when I sing. I don't want you brothers just hammering, just playing. Pum, 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 pum. Dead up here before Yah. I don't care what you think. Hallelujah. We offer up an offering that is pleasing unto Him. Can I ask you a question? You think that if someone went in the world, they go to what we call a concert, that those people that get up there on the stages, you think that there is not a robustness in them when they perform? Get it up, come on, come on, come on, come on. Do the people get up? You sit here, your hypocritical ways. Come on, come on, come on. I remember Al and I, we went down to that some years ago, that what they call the law conference. And there was a fellow on that organ, he was probably 350 pounds. I was telling Brother Dale one day when that young man was playing this for Brother Patrick. If you had seen that boy play, he said, watch this right here. I just sat back and marveled at him. He played what we call, quote, gospel song, unquote. He said, watch this, watch this. He got on that thing. He said, I got that right. I laid that chord down. Watch this right here. And then he said, I laid that and watch this when I do this. You're not going. People, when they go to a concert, they want their money's worth. Get up, get up, get up. Get up. Boom, 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 choo, pop. Hallelujah. I come into Yah's house with Todah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this is a part of worship. Like this. And if you disobey Yah, He says, praise Him on the timbrels. Praise Him on the psaltery. Praise Him on the guitars. All string instruments. So everything. Hallelujah. The presence of Yah, there ought to be a robustness. That's what it ought to be. When people go to watch the Cleveland Cavaliers play ball, it is not as much as the team as they want to go see LeBron James. When they go to those leagues out there, it's not as much as Colin Ferguson, Garcia. They want to see the Tiger. The folks who go watch San Francisco, they want them to wear, but they want to see Barry Bonds. I want to see Yahshua. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. No, that's not in the by. I want to see Him today. Hallelujah. I want to see my Abba today. I'm not thinking. That word is now for me. Hallelujah. So you obey. Don't be disobedient. That's why you stumble. That's why your attitudes never develop. That's why your personalities never develop. That's why you look all stunted in your growth. Hallelujah. I defy all of you. Hallelujah. I defy your attitude. That's why you can never come to that maturation of maturity and strength and walk like you're a soldier, a warrior for Yah. Hallelujah. Stretching it out. Told her, my brother, that I will. I want to read this. It says in Nehemiah. This is not for us though, right? This is for someone else. It says in Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 26. I'm sorry, chapter 9 verse 26. You'll read that entire chapter, First Kings 13. I know you're not going to do it, but it's a tremendous wisdom in that book, in that chapter. It says in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26. It says, nevertheless, Israel, the people, were obedient. They were disobedient. They were mara. They were rebellious toward Yah. They were very contentious. When Yah speaks to you, you become very contentious. You become very contentious. You want to fight Him. But they were very disobedient, and they what? Rebel. They rebel against Yah. And this is what they did. It says, Shalaka. They cast to throw. They threw it out. And that's what this religious whore has done. She cast, or this whore has cast, your Torah behind their back. Now, I will ask you a question. Is there a Torah of our eating habits? Come on, brothers and sisters. Is there a Torah how to enter into the Bayit or Tabernacle of the house of Yah? Is there a Torah, a law how to praise Him? Is there a Torah how to bring offerings and sacrifices to Him? Is there a Torah how to sing unto Yah? There's a Torah for everything. The Torah is simply a law. There's a governing body that governs the actions and the reactions of those that are under the auspice of the commands of Yahweh. Hallelujah. The world will call it protocol. We were down there in Atlanta. They had all these forks and spoons. I say, which one is for the main course? Sister Robin said, just pick up a spoon. Man. Makes sense to me. I did not know. They had a dessert fork, dessert spoon, whatever. Spoon for this and a fork for that, a knife. Looks so beautiful. I got the biggest one. You will not have known either. Yeah. All right, daughter, yeah. So that's what we call a protocol. That was a Torah. That was a law. To the etiquettes of dining. Well, I have no etiquette. Yeah. Just eat. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so when it came time for the cheesecake, I don't know if I used a cheesecake fork. I just used a fork. Same what I ate the chicken with. Yeah. And those Gino beans and the other thing. Same fork. The salad. You same one. But had all these kind of forks, glasses for this. I wanted a piece of bread. And the woman said, no, I will get him some bread. I said, they got a basket right there. I'm thinking. She said, no. I think, who was that? Elder Martin one said, here's some bread. She said, no, I will get the bread. Now, I know he wants bread, but I'm not going to allow you to mess up my Torah, my law, my protocol. And she would not. She said, no. She stopped. She was referring to. She said, no. I will get him the bread. I want to do it right. When I set that bread before him, he knows it's right. I don't want you to hand him a basket from over there. Well, say, here's some bread. All I wanted was a biscuit. Just one. Just some beautiful whole wheat rolls. Just give me one. She said, no. Twice she said, no, I will get him the bread. As she started walking around, give me bread. He said, here. She said, no, I will get him the bread. So there's a Torah, there's a law, there's an order. Do you understand? There's an order for everything that God does. He said, they have cast my Torah behind their back. They have killed, they have slew my Nabi, which testify to their wonderful words. See, the Nabi, the true man of Yah, he always testify against you to turn you that you may work the great works of Yah. See, that's what he always does. He always testifies against you. He is not a man of Yah if he doesn't testify against you. That his testimony against you will turn you. Turn you at my reproof, saith Yah. Turn. So that's what the man of Yah does. I don't care if he teaches on love, he preaches on giving, whatever he preaches on, it always turns us. So they have slew, they have killed those that caused them to turn. Why? Because they were disobedient. And when you are disobedient unto Yah, you will do all you can to kill those that will speak unto you to cause your love to turn. You don't want that man to speak unto you. You don't want to hear the words. And the words that he speak unto you, what I tell you today, it is to turn you from your ways that are very malicious ways. They are against Yah. Your ways are not for Yah. So I speak unto you the word of Yah, that you will not be obedient, disobedient, but you will turn from your actions. If you done something this way today, don't do it tomorrow. Turn from that. If your attitude is like this, change your attitude. That's what you do. So true man of Yah will always preach against you. He always. I'm not trying to preach anything that's going to be soothe-stroking to us. I can't make it that way. Hallelujah. I need something to press me out of time. I was talking to Brother Josh Horn yesterday. I said, Brother Josh, that's why I said to the brothers yesterday, we are going to work tomorrow, the one here, and you brothers can get a rest. I said to them, you're 1:30 stop, but it was hot. Because I went out that Thursday and laid those blocks. I worked until 1:30. It was hot. I had to continuously keep something in me. And I said to Brother Joshua, I said, Brother Josh, I said about 1, well, about 12, my hand started cramping. And it was doing this. That thing was dropping all the way down. And that thing was cramping in my elbow. And blocks are heavy. About 50, 60 pounds. You're lifting that, you feel that after a while. You understand. A lot of weight I had to lift. But that sun was cooking down. And all of a sudden, it was a nice cool wind. Well, I began to sing. Toriya, for the wind that is blowing. I brought you Yahweh. Oh, the wind feels so nice. And I brought you Yah. I began to pick up my pace. Hallelujah for the wind of Yah. For the breeze seems so wonderful. And all of a sudden the sun, the clouds pass and the sun just boom. Venerable, it shined down. Well, then I realized why the sun and the reason of this heated thing. Because it reminds me of my toil and labor in this life. And so my lyrics just change. I barak you, Yah, for the precious sun that shine, for the heat is warm upon me. But I told Yah for all things, told Yah for the sun, told Yah for the heat that shine, told Yah for the wind that blows. Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. Of course, that got me through. I'm not dead like you. I'm not humdrum. No. You go that way. I'm going this way because I know what it produces. Life. Robustness. I want to live. I want to be around. I say to Brother Dale all the time. I say, son, I want to be around. Let me be around you young brothers. We'll be around a while. Hallelujah. And I know what it's going to take. I do. Yahshua please all. How we are in all things. So I will please you. He tells us to give thanks for all things. So that's what I did. I just simply did it in a song. That song. Hallelujah. Oh, I thought you'd just do that in the tabernacle. No, I do that all day long. Wherever I go. Whomever I'm around. Makes no difference. They can be dead and all burned out. And that doesn't make me stop. I'm not going to respond the way you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to come before my Abba. When he gives me that little breath, my other night, it was hot. All of us. In every house. I said to Brother Josh, brother, I didn't go to sleep. He said, Pastor Rob, it was so hot. He said, drink water. I said, son, it was hot. All I could do was say, ouch. I said, it was so hot, I was itching. Now, that's hot, isn't it? I told you for that. Because I think about those that are in Baghdad, the brothers and sisters. It's raining in India. Deacon Benny said to me, have you heard from Pastor Babu? I said, Deke, we sent $100 a week 2 weeks ago. But I know the tremendous rains there, diseases and mosquitoes, and they're sick. And here you think it's something, a big pile of dung floating down in front of me. What do you do? You got to walk in the water. There's nowhere to lay your head. And I said to my wife last night, I said, don't you know, honey, that there are people that this weather, that the whole day and night is even like it was during the day? I said, this is a pleasant thing. We got fans. I said, I bless y'all for that. It may be hot. But I said, can you imagine? I said, they die in those countries from dehydration. I said, we got water. They don't even have water to drink. Yeah. I said, they're dehydrated and their little bodies are just, they die. I said, I'm not complaining, Mama. I can endure this here. Yeah. For the cool days will come again. I'm not wishing for the cool days. Because when this day expires, that's one day gone. I know I'm closer to death. I don't know about you, but I don't wish for the cool days. I won't be glad when September. I'm glad for August the 10th. I'm glad for this day, 2008. Yeah, I'm glad for this day. I rejoice in this day. I rejoice in this August 8th, 10th. Yeah. No, I don't want October to get away and it's cool. Because my life, I've lost that much more of my life, all right? So I don't wish like that. Maybe when I was younger. Not now. Hallelujah. So they cast, they were disobedient. And when you're disobedient, brothers and sisters, you will cast the Torah behind you. This generation is disobedient. It casts the Torah behind them. It is not a generation that loves Torah. That's why the whole house is rising up at great power today. They defy the truth of Yah and replacing them with their traditions. This seed is imparted into us from birth, brothers and sisters. We must have a willing. If we are willing and obedient, as we were told some weeks ago, we shall eat the tov of the land. But we must be willing and obedient. And the reason that we are not eating the best of Yah or eating the tov of the land, because we are rebellious people. We are people that have defied Yah. We are not walking in the will of Almighty Yahweh. And we do it deliberately. We disobey Him. I want to read this from Sirach. It has great, profound meaning. Listen to this, Sirach 30, verse 7. It says, because it has the same connotations as Mishlei, Proverbs, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6 and 7. It basically deals with the experience with Yah, teaching a young man, a young woman, how to walk circumspectly before Yah. It says in Sirach 37, he who spoils his son will bind up his wounds, and his feelings will be troubled at every cry. Every time the child moves at something, he that spoils him, every little cry, he's troubled. Oh, what about this? Okay, baby. Okay, daughter. A horse that is untamed turns out to be stubborn. So when you don't tame them, bring them up in the fear of Yah, they turn out to be disobedient. They turn out to be stubborn. And a son unrestrained turned out to be willful. That's what he wants to. She goes the way she wants to. Well, daddy, why I have to do this? Because I said you do it. But a child that is untrained turns out to be willful. You can't say what you want to. This is the true analogy of life. It says, pamper a child and he will frighten you. Pamper it. Just go ahead. Don't correct them. Yah corrects his children, does he not? Every son that they receive, does he correct them? Yes, he does. He says, play with him, and he will give you grief. Do not laugh with him, lest you have sorrows with him. And at the end, you will gnash your teeth. What in the did I create? Because you pandered with them, you pampered them. You know, Brother Ricky said to me, he said, you know, Pastor Roberts, when I come home, he's the man worry about his children. And I understand what his worry is. It's not he is concerned actually what he is, because he knows what's out there. This man makes a lot of money. He said to me other night, and there was when we were in Atlanta, and there was a young man that was a private detective in Atlanta. Beautiful young man. He said, Pastor Roberts, this city of Atlanta, it is one of the most corrupt and wicked places you want to live. He said, I was a police officer. I was a deputy chief. He said, I couldn't. He said, one day in the morning briefing, I said that the criminals ought to be on the street and the police officers should be in jail because they're more corrupt than the criminals. He said, I knew when I said that my career was over with. He said, I knew that. And Brother Ricky said, Pastor Rob, this place is so corrupt. It's vile. That's a stench. He said, everyone, the politicians, the sheriffs, the police officers, he said, it is just corrupt. Everyone, everywhere you go, you got to grease someone's hands, pay everything. And so he has a legitimate concern for his daughters. He said, I'm thinking about adopting some African boys and bring them here and raise them up in the field. Yeah, at least they have husbands. I said, my brother, well, I'm praying that the time will not be that long. That's my prayer, that they will not grow up. So I understand that. So he said, when I come on and see that they're doing something wrong, first thing I do, I say to my wife, what's that? He said, because I know that if they learn that, they learn it from their home. You see, the man has enough gumption and guts to say it did not come from the world. Somehow we have a lot of spirit in here to allow them to respond that way. Most folks want to blame someone else. But it said here, should I train them, teach them how they must walk? It says in verse 11 of the same chapter, it said, give him no authority in his youth. Don't let him tell you what he's going to do. Give him no authority. So they give them authority today, don't they? The little chap.
Mama, no!
Say, give him no authority in his youth. And do not ignore his errors. Do not say, well, that's all right. I remember one morning I was walking to the dining hall. Of course, Sister Laquita had Sherry out there. She had she wearing that butt out. I don't know what she had done, but she was busting the fire down. And so I asked her, what did she do? Of course, when she saw me, she knew that was Reprieva there. She knew, boy, she saw Pastor Roberts. I'm soft on that. Hallelujah. That's why it's wonderful to have someone that does right. Hallelujah. Of course, she saw me. She ran, Papa, jumps in my arms. She knew she was safe for the moment, but it was right for her to correct her, to tan her butt. She didn't kill her. Hallelujah. Why are you saying this, preacher? Because this is how we learn disobedience. It's from our childhood. No one has caused your daughter to be disobedient, your son. She's acting like a hoe because that's what she wants to be. Hallelujah. He says, bow down his neck in his youth, break him up. So the old man said, boy, I'll break your back. What did he say? That's what he meant. Break his neck. Bow him down. You think Brother Dale in his youth, his daddy, he would try him? He knew that Big Daddy Earl, he may be small in stature. He knew he would bow down his neck. He didn't even think that way. He messed up one time. Old Earl said to me, Pastor Earl, I told him, boy, he said that was the last time too. He said, in his youth, you bow down his neck and you beat his side when he's young. Whoop his butt. Get his hippies. You beat his butt while he is young, lest he become, look at this, stubborn, disobedient, and disobey you. See, that's why Yah, he said, every son he received, he chased, he said, I'm going to whip your butt, boy. I'm going to bust your heart, I'm going to break some skin off of it. You're not going to rear back at me. You're not going to disobey me. See, bust his butt, lest he obey you, and have you sorrow of the soul from him. He said, discipline your son and take pains with him. Well, it may hurt you to do that, but he said, do it. That you may not be offended by his shamelessness. That you do not have to suffer the shame. See, you parents sometimes think, well, I'm going to whip you. I'm going to get you. And you don't do it. You know, my grandmother would never say that. She'd say, boy, I'm going to bust your heart. You did it again. She said, I'm going to get you, all right. Well, you think it's over with. You had your fun day and a hot day like this in South Carolina. It didn't bother us as kids. Didn't take baths that often, so, you know, you went to bed all dirty and sweaty. And, of course, you're laying down in bed, and all of a sudden you feel something like fire on you. It would be like fire. And she will call the switches. We would get Elim. She would say, get me an Elim. She didn't want nothing like that to break. Nah, nothing like that trash. These things had like little ridges on them. She would break them off. You can get one small all you want, but that's all right. She'd make it work. She'd go get me another one. And that night, when all of a sudden you awaken and you feel the fire pouring down on you. And that big woman, she could lay it down. And she would put it on you. And boy, after she finished that, you thought twice about doing that same thing tomorrow. If you did, you had to look and you were a little leery. So he said, this is what the apocalypse says, don't spare them because of your emotion. Because what you do, you create the spirit of disobedience and rebellion. See, some parents say, okay, she's all right. Well, she ain't done nothing that bad. Just come on, baby. And you don't correct them B time. And Michelin say, correct your children B time or before time. At least it will bring shame to you. And you think because someone else's action that caused them to be disobedient and rebellious because you did not correct them the way you should. See, Yah, Yisrael, the true seed, he's going to correct his seed. You're not going to be disrebellious to him. If you're a false one, he's going to let you go on, do that. Ah, I like that. Because there's going to be a difference between my people and thine. He's going to make a demarcation between the people of hell and the people of righteousness. There's more to this, but I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right here, all right? I'm going to read one more thing from the Apocrypha. Hallelujah. Two things I want to read. Just write this down. If you have the Apocrypha. They're wonderful to read. It's wonderful. Three certain things out of there, all right? It says in Sirach 2:15, he said, those that fear Yahweh will not disobey his word. Now, is that the truth? You know, I remember years ago when I was, it was 25 years ago, there was this Arabic young man, he owned this store in the mall. And he said to me, he said, I used to go there and buy cologne from him. And he said to me, he said, I want to tell you, my friend, he was a handsome man too. He had this beautiful olive color skin. He was a little taller than me. He was a little bigger than I am, but he was handsome. The man was, he was nice looking. He really was. Beautiful skin. He said, I won't tell you. He said, boy, I'm glad to be in America. He said, man, America. Mwah! He said, I'm glad to be here. Well, of course, some guys were coming to the store because he had a conversation for them. It didn't make him no different. He was a whoremonger. He said, I want to tell you something, my friend. He said, I remember one day getting out of school. And I was a young girl. He said, he was from Saudi Arabia, one of those countries. I forgot at that time. He said, and I went across the street and I bumped her, playing with her. And he said, one of the elders saw that. He didn't say anything to me. He knew my dad. He got my dad. Told him what I had done. I had touched the little girl. And in those countries back then, you didn't do that. He said, I won't tell you, man. He said, that night, he said, I was asleep, man. And my daddy, that man came in. He began to beat me. I thought he was going to kill me. He said, he beat me and he beat me. He beat me. He said, man, I tell you, I never touched another girl until coming to America. What do you say in America? It's just a hole. He said, there. He said, I didn't even look. He said, if I was on the same side of the girl coming, I'd run to the other side. He said, never. Train him. See, we learn our disobedience from those that we're familiar with and those that have truly birthed us. And when you throw the Torah behind your back, you open the door for them. What you do is stand true to Torah. You stand true to Yah. Let them go to the way of hell. But you stand true to Yah. He tells you what to do. Those that fear Yahweh will obey Him. Now, is that a true statement? If you fear Yahweh, you will obey Him. Well, I don't believe that. Come on, hypocrites. You go down the highway and every mile you go as a police officer, that will you do what the sign says? Why? Because you're honoring Him and because you figure in the ticket. You figure in the ticket. Just be honest. Huh? That's what, you know. And when they say, if you see a sign on that 55 and not 1 mile over, you're going to do 50. Because if he stops you, you're going to say, I'm doing 50. Even when he stops you, you got to resonate a little bolder. Man, I'm doing 50. I know you're doing 50. I just wanted to make sure you know it's 1 mile over 55. We got you. You don't do that because you do it because you fear him. And because you fear him, when you see him, then you honor him what he commands you to do. So those that fear Yahweh will obey his word. And those who have a hava for him will keep his way. You that love Yah, you will keep his ways. You will certainly do that. He says, in the assembly of sinners, a fire is kindled. And in a disobedient nation, wrath is always kindled. Is this not a disobedient nation? Don't we see that in the death of the young men and the people? I was reading an article, there were 16,500 murders in America this past year. And over half of them were what we call the people of color, dark-skinned people, Negroes, African-Americans, or whomever they call themselves. That's who killed the people. Men between the ages of 16, 18, and 29. You one of the young women, they're not no husbands for you. Truth. And so when a wife, some of your wives, you're knuckleheads, and I say it that way, and I'm not ashamed, unabashedly. You get a man that loves Yah, that wants to walk right, do right, want to live decent, you want to act like a crackpot head, like an immature fruithead nut. You got a man that wants to serve Yah, that wants to live right, honey, you think you're going to go find a man? I don't care what kind of body you think you got, it means nothing. I don't care how fine you think, you're not that fine. We're in an hour whereby a man is going to be more precious than the gold of Ophrah. So you honor your man, you honor your husband. And man, when she honors you, you love her like Yahshua loved the assembly. You're not going out here just fighting a wife, fighting your husband. I can't get me a husband. You fool. You think you can? Or you get somebody just to marry you, just to have someone to live. Have them a place to eat. But a husband you're not going to find. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not going to find. That's why when a man cramps, when he finds a wife, he finds a tough thing. And he has favor of Yah. Every woman is not a wife. She is not. I'm just telling you the truth. Every woman is not a wife. He finds a wife, he finds a tough thing. Is Yah tough, just? Yes, Yah is tough. He's real in my being. So when a man finds a wife, that she becomes real. She's a beautiful thing. There's nothing more beautiful than a wife. That's why you wives ought to do what wives ought to do and see what the book says about a wife. You ought to study that every day. At the presence and the beauty of your expression unto your husband. You're greeting him, saluting him. And you learn how to salute one another. You can learn how to salute him and honor him. There's nothing greater than that. No man wants to come home to a dead head. I wouldn't come home to one like that. I wouldn't even be with them. And that's the truth. What are you saying? Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? I'm not saying this to be boastful. If I want to find me women, I can find them. If I want women, and I'm not talking about no scaggly-looking women either. I'm not talking about no welfare heifers. I'm not talking about women with babies either. Whether they're white, black, makes no difference at all. Do you understand that? If I want to be in that circle, if I wanted women, and I'm not talking about no women that so you see these cats with women, they look fair. See some of these men of color with these, some of these Caucasian girls, they're there. That's just the truth. I'm not talking about no big old fat white girl like that. Nah. I'm not talking about no woman that's barely making it. Nah. So if I wanted women, if I wanted that, I could do that. I want a wife. And I'm pleased with a wife. That's what I want. The pleasantry of her expression. Her greetings. Hallelujah. I want that. There's nothing more pleasant than that. Men are not cut like you, women. That's just the truth, women. We don't function like you. We think differently. I don't care what the world says. I don't think like Sister Roberts. Sometimes she says there's a woman. I said, think about what you say. She says, just be quiet. Don't even ask me. Why are you asking me that? If I tell you, what difference does it make? If I even ask you wrong, you wouldn't know it. Well, I just want to say, don't worry about it. Men don't think like women. We don't operate like women. Hallelujah. And that's why Yah give a man a wife so that he help him meet his loyalty unto Yah. And that's what a beautiful wife does. Man, I don't want these young men to bring, I don't want these, hey, when these sisters come, I will look if they ain't right. And they can go back with them if they ain't right. Hey, come on. But I believe they're beautiful sisters. I really do. And they're Ru'ah. I believe they are. I really do. I don't want the brothers just having no sex partner. These men, come on, old Randy Tallis, he is, man. He can go out there. Yeah, he can. I don't want them. I don't want them just to go out there. I don't want them having no sex. I want them to have a wife. Hallelujah. Jezebel called Stacy one day and said that, well, did Pastor Rob make Sean marry you? If I did make him marry, so what difference does it make? Hallelujah. He got a wife. I don't want no wife. I don't want to do that. You know what I said to him? Take some flowers. Go give him the money. And when she come, buy some flowers. I don't want to do that. When he saw you, then his whole attitude changed. Yeah, they don't let him trick you. And one day I said to Deacon Benny, I was talking to the brother, I said, look, I didn't say I was sending you back. Even when her attitude got a little shy, I said, look, I send you down there and you're going. I was sending him back home, right? She said, I'm weeping. I said, no, Pastor, right? Down to them. Aren't you glad you didn't go down to them? Come on. Hallelujah. So I say to Deacon Benny, if she goes, I said, I said, I'm not driving back to Arkansas. It's too far. I said, you all would drive. I'm not driving. Well, he got that. He didn't even hear what I said. He thought, so he comes to me, can he buy you a book for dulcimer? I said, boy, you buy nothing. If she need a book, I buy it. I said, don't even get closer, boy. I said, you hear me? I said, I'll bust you up. I said, boy, I got an inspiration. I said, don't you even get close to a boy. Do you hear me, boy? Well, I knew what I was doing. I wanted him to get mad at him. He got ego digging me. I said, yeah, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want to hear that. That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear his complaint. He won't even let me. I said, yeah, sweet. Sweet music to my ear. Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Let him talk some more. What does he say? I said, beautiful. Beautiful. If I didn't make him marry her, so what? Whiskey make men marry women they don't even know. Britney Spears got married, and the next day she got divorced. Huh? All right, then. This wicked nation. You people just don't know how to answer folks like I do. You really don't.
You really don't. Because, hallelujah.
May God bless you all. May He bless you all. May His, hallelujah. We bless you all that are listening. We bless you all. In Yahshua's mighty name, we greet you. Salutations unto you all. May Yah fill your home with the blessings today. Bless you over there, Sister Celeste. And all, we bless you all. Todaya. Come on, I want you all to sing my song, you know. Come on, Brother Petty. You know what song. I haven't heard it in 2 weeks. Hallelujah. So sing for me. Hallelujah. Brothers, we that are, you all that Deacon Benny gave you charge every day, we're going to work tomorrow. We're going to finish up this building. We're going to frame it in and everything. We're going to get that done. I need to get it done. You sisters that are listening there in Virginia, yeah, we will come pick you all up for Tabernacle. We're going to send some brothers to get home, Brother James and Brother Josh, to pick those sisters up. You all got a gift that you can send us. Send us a gift. We need to get this bus out. We got what they call, quote, a church bus. I don't like to call it that, but quote, church bus. And it costs $3,200. We put $1,000 down. And that bus, actually, those buses cost, you buy a bus like it costs $15,000. No, that's not the big bus we're going to get. I just got that one. It's small, and I wanted to get that. But those buses cost, for use, when they cost $15,000, even like a, but it's a nice bus. It seats 22 people. It's better than a van, and it's more safer than a van. You see them in the hospitals, they commuting people from one place to the other. That's what it is. It has an air conditioner. It's not working, he said. I thought he told me it was working. And we're going to use that to go pick those sisters up. So Yah barak you all, brothers and sisters that listen, wherever you are, may Yah bless you. This song is for you all. Shalom, shalom.
stand to our feet. We do barak Yah for all things. I do want to say the pastor's name, the minister's minister, Wallace. Minister Anthony Wallace there in Myrtle Beach. It is the tabernacle of Yah at Shiloh. Also Pastor Pennington there in Philadelphia. Pastor Pennington calls me all the time, almost every day. We barak you, my brother. Fellowship there in Philly. And also Pastor Person there in Chicago. We barak you for your gift. Your wife, Sister Mary, and all. Brother Jerome James. All of you, your faithfulness. You give some to the works of Yah here. We barak you all. In all things, we do barak you, Almighty Yah. Bless your people today. Give us wisdom and understanding in all of your truth. We told on you for Yahshua the Lamb. Above all the blessed, precious stone Yahshua is. We told on you. Help everyone today. Give us rest and comfort even in the midst of this warm weather. We told on you for all things. Let the reign of your rule fall upon Jerusalem. We barak you for all things in Yahshua's name. House of Israel said hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Brother Michael, Sister Michael, our Brother Alex. Toda, toda, yah.